Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." God is opening the invitation to everybody, come close, and even though your sins are with you, I can wipe those sins away and make you right. I've said to so many people in the waters of baptism, you know about God, God has touched you, and God wants to get as close to you, closer than you can imagine, but there is one issue, and that's the sin issue. And now that the sin issue is wiped away, now God can get closer to you than ever before. God can handle your requests. God is obligated now to protect you and provide for you, just like a marriage. You're taking on the name of the groom. And so the really question here is, would you come together and reason with God? And then if you go to Malachi, last book in the Old Testament, Malachi the third chapter, verse number 1, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple." Is that how you got the Holy Ghost? "Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap." Some of you have been in the fire. Some, well, God's put you in the wash to get you ready so you can stand in the day. I'd rather go through the fire and in the wash and be prepared to stand in the day when Jesus comes. And I really believe that he's doing a quick work right now. Here's the problem. I wonder how many times I said, "Jesus is coming soon." I've said that for many, many years. It can be rhetoric to us thinking, well, yeah, he said that. The Bible says, where is the Father? You've said he's coming so many times. Well, it's never been a time like the time we're living in right now, folks. Amen. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word. Amen. And your people, God. Yes. Allow us, God. To draw closer to you than we have before. Keep your hand upon us. Keep us close to you, God, and always keep us clean. Amen. It's in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to talk about a little strange subject tonight. I'm going to talk about dirt. It's everywhere. Glory to God. Whenever we have someone over to our house, my wife goes in this trance because she has to make sure that every morsel of dust and dirt is out of the house because people are going to see that. And I admire her about that because she wants a clean house. But what if we took that same approach to our church? What if we took that same approach to our lives? I just want to be squeaky clean. So I'm going to talk about dirt tonight, and we all are just kind of, glorified dirt balls. Most of us are, God made us out of dirt. That's what he made Adam out of, and breathed the breath of life into him. And I'll be using the Bible, and then I'm going to be using another book that my daughter gave me a long, long time ago, and it's entitled talking dirty, the queen of clean. And it can change your life with chapters like Get the Dirt on Home Cleaning, Perspiration Stains Are the Pits, Taming Dust Bunnies Without a Whip, Do Away with Window Panes, Get Out of the Bathroom Sooner, and The Nose Knows, The Big Cover-Up. So those are chapters in the book, and there are a lot of chapters in the Bible that talk about how can we get clean. Most all of my tithes have been red because when I used to eat cheeseburgers, the ketchup would drop down on my tithes. I see a lot of guys when they go to a restaurant, they take their tithe and flip it over there because I have so many tithes with just one stain, took it to a cleaner. They never got the thing clean. But now that I know how to get ketchup out of my tithes, I may go back to my old eating habits. You just dab club soda on it and blot it off. It brings the spill to the surface, and it can be reused or easily taken care of. Did you know that shaving cream is one of the best spot and stain removers there is? And that's because it really is just whip soap. Aren't you glad you came tonight? I mean, really. The author said that shaving cream has saved me more than once. Now, I use shaving cream every morning, but I want you to know that shave cream has never saved me, you know? There has to be another aspect to salvation. WD-40 gets the grease out. It takes off salad dressing and even crayons. And the officer said that the biggest mistake people make is that they try something to get the stain out, not knowing if it really will work, and then it sets the stain permanently, you know? What's this got to do with us? There are a lot of people who want to get rid of their sins, but they have never followed the directions. They're just going to do it. I mean, for years we've been at the prison, and either I or Brother Bear or Brother Moran or somebody brings forth the word, and in it we always have the plan of salvation, and then the chaplain gets up and asks people to raise their hand if they want to say the sinner's prayer. You know, it's going to set the stain. It's not going to get rid of the stain. You see, you have to have the right formula. Amen. There are fine lines between getting the stain out and setting it forever. There's a false sense of security that a lot of people have that all of their sins are completely removed when they aren't removed, and then they continue to go on in life with that false sense of security. God has given us very explicit instructions for cleaning and cleansing in the Bible. There are many man-made manuals on how to get the dirt out. I've heard them all. Accept the Lord as your Savior, and just shake the hand of the pastor. Confess your sins to a priest. Live the best you can, you know. Your good works could outweigh your bad works, and you're on your way to heaven. Do good work, be faithful, pray fast, give to the poor. But what does the Bible say about the washing away of our sins? How do you permanently get rid of all of the stains? Even Pentecostals, sometimes they think, well, you know, I think most of them are gone, but are they all gone? See, the problem is that I remember what I have done in the past, and you remember what you have done in the past, and the enemy of our soul brings an indictment against us saying, God knows what your past is, when the Bible says that not only does he wash our sins away, but he forgets our sins. Well, Pastor, what if I sin tomorrow? Not purposely, but I trip up. Well, we have an advocate with the Father. And God says, I can forgive your sins if you confess your sins. So, you know, you got a brand new tie, you got a brand new suit, you got a brand new dress, you spill something on it, you don't throw the dress away, you don't throw your life away. Hallelujah. You get it cleaned up. You get it cleaned up as fast as you can. Take it to the cleaners. Amen. I hesitate to use the story again, but I've used it over the years. When my daughter was getting married, my wife was taking the wedding dress to the church, and as she pushed it into the car, there was grease on the hinge of the car door, and it left a big black mark down the center. I remember her screaming, my daughter screaming, and they took off for the cleaners, you know? And the cleaners, I mean, they stopped everything. They must have worked on it for an hour with chemicals and everything, got it out, and the stain was still there, you know? Terrible. I don't want to appear before the Lord with some stain on my garment, folks. I was at the church. The dress was here. I remember my daughter called and said, "Dad, were they able to get the stain out?" And I said, "Don't worry about it. It will be just fine." I'm looking at this dress. It still has this black mark down the front. But by the time she got here, I don't know how it happened, but it was all gone. You know, by the time I hear the trumpet, I want it all gone, folks. I want to make sure that I am clean. Amen. You know, if you just walk down the detergent aisle at the grocery store, I do a lot of grocery shopping, and everybody claims that their soap is better than anybody else's soap. Amen. You can now shout out your stains, you know. And we do a lot of shouting in church, but that doesn't remove your stains. Hallelujah, praise God. Amen. You're still in your sins. Amen. And you can go and buy cheer detergent. But even the happiest and most cheerful churches, still not going to do it, folks. You know, there's all the, you got to get to a happy church. You got to be friendly. If you're friendly, people will stay. Well, that's great. But do they understand what their garments look like? What about Tide detergent? Let the Tide come in and wash the dirt away. Or in other words, over a period of time, God will, you know, he'll, because you've been so faithful, it'll all be gone. Some people make their own soap. Who needs the professionals, you know? This will really date me, but my grandmother used to make her own soap, you know, out of oils and salts and alkali with a lot of perfumes to cover up the odor. It was the roughest stuff that you could possibly imagine. Those bars would last forever. They say the best way to get ring around a collar out is to wash your neck, you know? And I think it's the best way with God. Every time I come in here, I want the washing of the word to come over me. I want to, you know, I may not walk in here sparkling clean, but when I walk out of here, I want to smell good and look good and be clean. Amen. Would you turn to Revelation, the 7th chapter? Revelation 7 and verse number 13. "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." They washed their robes. You see, there's something about you've got to do your own wash. as much as God loves you, he's not going to take care of your wash unless you want. And then, of course, Revelation 19 and 7 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is what? The righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. So we need white robes of righteousness in order to appear before God. And we do that. We make ourselves ready for the wedding. Now let me tell you about the finest cleanser that the world has ever known. Although no one can afford it, it costs more than what you could possibly have. It never fails to get the stains out, no matter how deep, no matter how penetrating. There are some people feel that there are certain sins that are too bad that God could never forgive, and that is not true. No matter how long the stain has been there, if you've been doing this thing for many, many years, God can still clean you up. You can be as white as snow. It defies any dirt this world can come up with. It has been working for over 2,000 years, and it's not just a cover-up. It's a complete eradication of the stains. We can walk before God in purity so that you would never believe that was ever there before. Glory to God. Amen. We so many times evaluate ourselves based on what we think and not what the Word of God says. It is the precious blood of Jesus Christ, a cleansing agent. The cost was staggering, yet it made free for anyone who wants their sins removed. Come, let us reason together. I think the thing that I thank God for more than anything else is that I had an open mind to listen to what people were telling me about the plan of salvation. Even though all those years of in a denominational church, accepting the Lord and just being faithful, being a part of the church doesn't get you clean. It's doing what the Word says. One drop could cleanse the whole world. What can wash my sins away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. God's book could be entitled Talking Clean by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Chapter after chapter, it describes how the blood has removed every trace of sin that man has produced. But it took the blood of Jesus to do it. We can't do it ourselves. You know, we are likened to sheep so much in the Bible. And raised on a farm, I saw sheep all of the time. I saw sheep and how inadequate they are. If they fall down, they can't get up by themselves. They're called a cast sheep. And they get dirty. They get dirty real easy because of their wool. Things collect on it, hang on it, mud stays on it, and they can't clean themselves. They have to be cleaned. They have to be sheared, if you will. Sometimes we just get laden down with so much junk from this world that we have to be sheared. And then if that doesn't work, they put them in what's called a sheep dip that has oil and water. Amen. Oil and water. We can't do it on our own. We can't get good enough in order to save. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we need God. I'm telling you, it's incredible. Just one application washes away the stains of adultery, fornication, murder, drunkenness, drugs, abusers, homosexuality, pornography, abortion, liars, cheats, extortioners, and on. No matter what you can imagine, God can eradicate it. He can take it away. We have a fresh start. Amen. He can do it again.
Amen.
Amen. Instead of walking in church with your head down, all you have to do is say, God, forgive me. I need another bath. I need another cleansing. I need to be forgiven. And walk out of here with a clear conscience, with no condemnation, you see. Not only do the stains disappear, but the memory of those stains are completely eradicated from God himself. And that's been always amazing to me, that God doesn't remember all my faults and inadequacies from 70 years ago to 70 minutes ago. What can wash my sins away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, there are people who will agree that it's the blood of Jesus. It's the question of how is the blood applied? Where's the application of that cleansing? You know, no matter how hard people have tried to get rid of their sins and the effect thereof, it still comes back to the surface. I've had carpets cleaned over the years, a stain in the carpeting, and they come and they clean it with high-pressure steam, and it looks just beautiful. And a week later, the stain comes back. Because it just got the surface, you see. If you'll turn to Psalms 51. Psalms 51 is one of those great chapters in the Bible that relieves us of some of the feelings that we have. It's David repenting after he committed adultery and murder. And yet, God says in Acts 13 that David is a man after my own heart. Really? David's a king? Really? You see, there are some people who don't feel qualified to do something because of their past. And God's saying, what past? So Psalms 51 and 1 says, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy mercies, tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sins. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Now, I just want to stop here for a second. What he is saying, my sin is ever before me. I still remember what I did, and that won't ever go away. God won't pull those thoughts or that past from you, but he can give you confidence that your hands are clean. He has forgiven you, and then you become free. You don't carry, you know, all your past with you, drag it with you all the time. You see, the psychiatrist says, we've got to dig up your past in order for you to get right in the future. And God's saying, no, forget those things behind and move on and press towards the mark of the high calling. Never does it ever help us to bring back the past. Verse 4, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Against who? Him. Only that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inner parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear the joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. See, you need to ask God to do those things. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. See, if we don't have any condemnation because of something lingering in our lives, well, then the joy of the Lord can be restored in our lives. And it can be just as simple as, I'm sorry. You know what? Pride says, you can't say, I'm sorry. Pride doesn't allow the spotlight of heaven to focus on you to see if there are some imperfections. But we need to take care of that. I've seen my mother work so hard in trying to get a stain out that she ruined the fabric. Expensive fabric. And I wonder how many Christians have been ruined by churches working on their condemnation and not using the blood of Jesus. You know, you have to say penance, you have to do this if you don't do the works. And they ruin the Christian because they're not getting any relief from the condemnation and sin that they have until they just couldn't take it anymore, and then they leave altogether. Glory to God. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews, the 9th chapter. Hebrews 9 and 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Amen. The thing that prevents us from getting closer to God is not having a clear conscience with God. And I've told people, you know, there are some things that, well, you can't defend against. But one thing you can do is you can make sure that your hands are clean before God. And then he'll take up your cause. If you want to take up your cause, you can, but it's never effective. Your obligation is to make sure you're right with God. And then God will make sure that you are right in the situation. Amen. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. First Corinthians 6, and starting in verse 9, it says, Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So if you're one of those, you can't get into the kingdom of God. But chances are there's somebody in here that had been. And verse 11 says, And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. Every one of us came from a sordid background in one way or another. But now we can stand before the presence of God with clean hands and a white robe. Now, every time I have used soap or a cleanser in my life, I needed something else. I did. I also needed another ingredient, and that ingredient was water. You know, get your hands all full of soap and no water, it doesn't do much good for you. The best soap in the world is useless unless you use it with water. There has to be an application of the cleansing agent in the water. Isn't that amazing that we have water back here and we put the cleansing agent with the water, and then when we come out of the baptism, we are pure and clean. Amen. Hallelujah. And the blood is applied in the water of baptism. Too many churches do studies of the blood. They sing about the blood, but they have never applied the blood in baptism. You know, it's not enough to know about the blood. It's not enough to sing about the blood, but you have to have the blood applied to you. Yes, the Bible is many things to us. There's many promises, there's many protections, there's many blessings. You can go on and see all of the treasures that are in here. You know, instead of buying a lottery ticket, go to the book and see the treasures that are in here. But its main purpose is a book to show you how to get the stains out. Because if you can get the stains out, everything else is wonderful, and you can get a hold of God. You can walk right into His presence. You can get as close to God as you want. It's not a matter of knowing about Him. You get to know Him. So we've got a couple more scriptures. If you go to Colossians, the second chapter. I hope there's somebody listening to this and has never heard this before. Colossians 2 and 10, it says, "And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities and powers, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." Well, circumcision saved people in the Old Testament, but now there's an uncircumcision. What is it? Buried with Him in baptism. It just tells you how you should be baptized. You need to be completely submersed in water. That's the only way you can be buried, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. What's baptism for? It's for the forgiving of your sins. Why? Because the cleansing agent was applied in the water that makes you white as snow, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. What happened at the cross? There was the blood that was shed, which was the cleansing agent. 1 Peter 3. And verse 20. "Which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few," that is, eight souls, "were saved by water." Type and shadow. "The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us." Well, how? Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, you walk out of the baptism and you have a clear conscience because now your sins have been washed away. Our last scripture, Acts chapter 22, if our musicians would come. Here, Paul was just given his sight and filled with the Holy Ghost. And in verse 16 of that 22nd chapter, Ananias is saying, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized." Well, why? "Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord or having the name of the Lord called over you. This is great truth, folks. This is worth more than anything that you could possibly imagine, but you have to come and reason with God first. I baptized somewhere in the area of 2,000 men at our Racine Correctional Institute, and before I baptize them, I'll have a little Bible study such as this, and it's just amazing. There are guys that are sitting on the edge of their chairs because they want to be clean. They want to have a good conscience. They want their past to be completely eradicated. And then in the back of the room is a chaplain, just so angry, because he doesn't espouse this truth. It's just accept the Lord as your Savior. Been taught to him over the years, probably from a young boy, and so was I. But I remember saying, God, if there's more truth for me, I want it. It's not the opinion of a man. It's not the opinion of tradition. It's not the opinion of church. It has to be in your book. And if I see it in your book, then I'll respond to it. And when I did, there was a clear conscience. There was a liberty. There was an access to God that I had never had before. But the same is true today. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you have done. You want to have access to God. You want to have a clear conscience. God's saying, confess your sins, and I'm willing to forgive you and give you a clean start again. Amen. What a merciful and gracious God that we have. Amen. You have this information. And there are so many people around us that do not have this information. Amen. I am so glad that there were people who prevailed in my life, wouldn't give up on me, kept talking to me about this, to the point where they prayed and they fasted, to the point where I just couldn't resist it anymore. And I'm so grateful. Because now I have access to a God that I only knew about. And now I know. Would you stand with me, please? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Probably the greatest, I guess you could call him a prophet of God, that I've ever met in my entire life was a man by the name of Billy Cole. Billy Cole saw revivals of literally hundreds of thousands of people in Ethiopia and Papua New Guinea. And God just used him like nobody else that I've ever heard of or met. And still to this day, there isn't anyone who has replaced him. I don't know if it was probably 15 years ago that we had a ready to be set free rally at the U.S. Cellular Building downtown Milwaukee. And there were at least a couple of thousand people that were there. And I had a chance to spend some time with Brother Cole. And every time he had a move of God, he simply did this. He said, Brother Schumacher, they just have to be ready. That's all. That's all. And when we're in that huge building, he had everybody, I don't know how many thousands that were there, get down on their knees and say, God, forgive me. Forgive me. I am sorry. I don't even know what I'm sorry of, but you know. You know my heart. And he said, if they will do that, then they are ready to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and God is ready to do some great things in their life. That day, I think there were like 350 people who were filled with the Holy Ghost. Roland Bear's uncle was one of them. And you know what? That's a formula for our life. God, I'm sorry. I need you to heal me. I need you to give me a job. I need you to take care of this situation in my life. There's a problem with my family. Maybe the first step would be the same step that Billy Cole says, is get down on your knees and say, God, if you'll just forgive me, that if I could be right, if I have a clear conscience towards you, then I can boldly come before the throne of God in time of need. Could he do that? I believe he could. And maybe tonight, that's what we should do. Would you come?